Good morning, Evanston Avenue. I'm Tina.
And I'm Keith. And boy, are you excited or what?
I am so excited because it's finally Family Worship Sunday!
That's right. I forgot about that. We're so glad you're here, and we wanted to welcome you, and we hope you feel at home here at Evanston.
Whether it's your first time here or you've been attending since you were born, there's a place for you here at Evanston.
And if you were wondering what your next steps might be to get connected at Evanston, Daniel is here to help you out.
Here's Daniel!
Oh my gosh, you really are excited.
Hi, I'm Daniel. And we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. Our children's and our youth programs are currently on their summer break, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything for them. Hype will be meeting every other week during the summer, but there are a few exceptions, so you'll want to check your calendar for that. For the adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners. That'll be the last Sunday of every month. We also have our men's golf and our ladies' meetings. We also have a lot of volunteer opportunities available, so please talk to us about those if you're interested. We are still editing our Stories of Faith videos, so be on the lookout for those coming soon. If you're like me and can't remember these dates after the sermon, then check out the website. It's got all of our events and dates on there. So no matter where you're at in your journey, there's something for you.
Hey, Tina, what you got there?
Oh, I'm just checking out the bulletin. Did you know that it's filled with information about our church and that you might find it handy?
Well, I did know that. That's also where you can find the connection card.
Oh.
If you fill that out, you'll stay up to date with all the things going on at the church.
You can also use that card to let us know if you need prayer or would like someone from the church to contact you.
So why don't you get busy filling that out? You.
Oh.
And you guys out there can do the same. And when you're done, you can just drop it on the pew when you leave. And one of our amazing ushers will pick it up for you. Or, if you're more of a techie, you can find an expanded calendar and connection form on our website.
The website is a great resource where you can find all the information you're looking for.
We post some pretty interesting articles and resources there a couple times a week, so you are definitely going to want to check that out.
Don't forget, if you want to go back and listen to a Sunday school lesson or sermon, you can do that too. We have an archive with the audio and the slides and so much more.
So head on over to EvanstonAvenueBaptist.com or follow us on social media to stay connected.
It's almost time for Pastor Matt, but before that, we do have a couple more important things to share with you.
VBS was a blast and the kids had so much fun. In case you missed it, here's a highlight of Passport to Peru.
Thank you.
today, right after church, we have our next step lunch. So after Pastor Matt is done talking, head right downstairs for lunch and get to know our members, leaders, and staff.
Finally, Unity Fest is coming up in just a few days. You can still buy your tickets online.
Be on the lookout for the church group. We all like to sit together and enjoy the event.
Well, now that we have up to speed, it's time to grab a pencil and take out your Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Now here is Pastor Matt continuing our series, Finding Your Place, with his sermon on... Get ready for it! This is really exciting! Spiritual gifts!
Here's Pastor Matt.
I am hoping and praying that I can have that much energy this morning as well. Thank you. I have a cupcake on my stand. All right. Ooh, yummy frosting. All right. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward, and a couple quick things just so that you know. First of all, as we've been saying for members, after our hot dog dinner, we need you to hang out for just a little bit. We do have our quarterly business meeting. Yay! Okay, man. That'll be great fun as well. Some important things we need to discuss as always. I know it'll be a big day for us. Thanks for hanging in there. Before I pray for the offering, though, I do have one more serious announcement and important thing that I need to share with you guys. Next week is going to be the first Sunday in August, and we always have communion on the first Sunday. And we've started again the tradition of during that time, we also have a special offering for benevolence. Benevolence is just how, you know, if there's somebody that has a need, we draw from those funds to help them. The reason I'm letting you know ahead of time is this month in August, we are designating the benevolence offering to Tom Morris's family. Okay, there are some needs there with his passing, so we want to be sure to help them out. So we wanted to give you a week ahead of time to know that, and we'll mention it again in more detail next week. So again, sorry for the more serious information I have to deliver right now, but wanted to make sure you guys are aware of that. Okay, so next week, designated benevolence offering for Tom Morris's family. Okay, let's pray. Father, as we gather, Lord, we're mindful of the fact that as it's great joy is here with us, Lord, because we can celebrate the work that you're doing in the lives of our children. We thank you for our children. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives, Lord. We thank you for the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles that are in this room, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to minister to them and to train them up in the way that they should go. We thank you for that, Father. We ask that as we have received from you all the blessings you've poured out on us, Lord, and as we give back to you a small portion of that, Lord, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which it is given. Father, now as we open your word, we again ask your Holy Spirit to move mightily in us and through us. Father, we ask that your word transform us from who we are today into who you would have us to be. Lord, as the pastor, I simply ask, may my words fall to the ground, and may your words endure forever and change our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you, gentlemen. All right, well, hey, we need to take a little bit of a trip down memory lane, because for those of you that were here last week, we had the joy of being on vacation. Even though we were here, we got to hang out, listen to Jeremy preach. He did an awesome job introducing spiritual gifts. We're going to spend another week on spiritual gifts. And young people, some of you may remember this, but a couple years ago, we talked about spiritual gifts before. And we did a special day called Superhero Sunday, and that was so much fun. We had lots of people in capes and everything. And I just want to ask, because does anyone here, big people or little people, does anyone here have a favorite superhero? Okay, a bunch of people, very cool. Now, in superhero land, there's at least two major streams of thought. There's, of course, the Marvel Universe, with Spider-Man and Captain America and Iron Man, and then of course there's the DC universe with Batman, Superman, and all his buddies, and they're making lots of movies about it. So this is a judgment-free zone. Who likes DC, Superman, Batman, and those guys more than Marvel? Okay, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face. Okay, and who likes the Marvel universe a little bit? Oh, my people, there we go. So, well, again, we want to just have a little bit of fun with this, because we're asking the question about spiritual gifts, and that's another way of saying, what is your superpower? You see, young people, If you believe in Jesus, part of what happens is the Holy Spirit gives you a gift. And it's not like a gift in a box that you unwrap. He gives you the ability to do something. It's kind of like a superpower. And one of the gifts, for example, that he's given me is the ability to preach. I get to stand up here and teach. That's a superpower from God. And here's how I know. Would you guys believe me that when I was a young person, I was terrified of public speaking? Anyone else a little terrified? Anyone else doesn't want to get up here and talk? Yeah, it's a scary thing. I used to have my mom, when I was in high school, I used to have my mom call me in sick if I had to give a presentation in my classroom. Yeah, that was wrong of me, and I got in trouble for it. But I was always afraid of that. And then when I came to believe in Jesus, he gave me this thing, the spiritual gift of teaching. And so now I love doing this. I get to do this every week, several times a week, and it's great fun. I love it. So God gives us superpowers called spiritual gifts so that we can serve him and we can accomplish his mission. Amen? Because, hey, every superhero has a mission, right? Well, and so do we. And so God gives us the superpowers we need to do that. Now, I know we just saw a video, but I want to play one more highlight video from VBS. Because, again, this is Family Sunday. We want to celebrate all the great things that God has done. But here's what's different about this video. Young people, if you were here for Vacation Bible School, there were a whole bunch of people that were using their superpowers, their spiritual gifts, to make Vacation Bible School happen. I just want to play a real brief video to celebrate that.
Volunteering in a VBS. Absolutely marvelous. Kids were great. Helpers were marvelous. Program was fantastic. And I wouldn't hesitate to volunteer the two of us again here.
Whoa!
So it was exhilarating. They enjoyed it immensely, and watching them enjoy it was a lot of fun for me. I like the fact that they were all ages. I mean, we had some little kids. They didn't just simply say, oh, no, you're not 5 yet. You can't be here. And, yeah, and there were
like
all
that
ages
one.
Up there. And it was just, they mingled. They were all together. Not just, you know, with this class and stay there. Once they got on that, up there, they were all over jumping and ran on and not being told to be quiet. Yeah, but the helpers actually stood up. Every child, teenager that was very helpful, very respectful. And it's just all around a great experience.
I loved it. Of course, I have a special place in my heart for kids. And this kind of filled that spot for a while. It was nice to see the kids up there jumping up and down, singing praises to their Lord. I'd love to see more of it. Everything stood out. I love the kids and the games. The games were well thought out, well planned, well played. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves.
I thought it was pretty fun and was pretty.
What you love?
It was fun and
pretty. Is there anything that you like really liked? Like what station was your favorite?
The game.
The game? What was your favorite thing about BBS?
The dodgeball and the room with the jungle where we made our eggs. And the ink and eating that. And your station.
My favorite part of VBS was seeing the all the excitement that they had on stage with the songs and the dancing and the lessons. It was neat to see the kids get the connection between one of the object lessons that we had. We filled eggs shakers with popcorn kernels and let them shake them to make noise. And it just made the connection between how, just like the popcorn kernels were making noise inside the egg, when you have the joy of the Lord inside you, it comes out in the form of songs, praises, and worship. You should really come help out next year. It's a lot of fun.
My favorite part about BVS would have to be the interacting with children and just getting them to be, you know, their relationship growing closer with God. I really like the groups that are really rowdy. I was telling them the story about Jesus calming the water when he fell asleep in the boat. And we made the small makeshift boat, and we put them in there, and we had the fans blow in, and we had helpers squirting water at them, and they really enjoyed that. I liked it when we got to interact with them.
As I said, we had a whole bunch of people using their superpowers, their spiritual gifts. Some superpowers are more interesting than others. In case you're wondering, the deal was if we made it over 30, Joy would get the ice bucket challenge. So we took that to the biggest possible degree possible. I'm going to invite Joy to come forward. Joy was using so many of her gifts this week during Vacation Bible School as the coordinator for VBS. And I just want to give her just a moment, and then we'll get back into the message.
Good morning, Evanston Avenue Baptist Church. I just want you guys to know that you have some really, really amazing kids here. If you don't know some of our kids here, please get to know them. They're fun, they're funny, they're spunky, and they love Jesus. So get to know some of them. But not only do we have amazing students, we have amazing leaders. We would not have been able to pull off such a great Vacation Bible School with having 30 kids consistently here throughout the week if it were not for our amazing leaders. They had so many gifts. We had the gifts of hospitality being used, the gifts of leadership, the gifts of administration, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of fun. We are such a talented and awesome church, Amen. And we are so blessed to have the amazing leaders that we do. So can I have the Vacation Bible School leaders stand up real fast? I'm going to make you guys stand.
If you're a volunteer, just please stand just for a moment, please. So,
you guys see these people?
Yeah, please, just give them a hand. Thank you.
know they don't do it for the thanks. They do it because they love God and they love children. But we have some very talented people here at this church. So please make sure if you see them that you thank them for what they've done this week, because they did an amazing job. And I am so thankful to be here, and I am so thankful to have such a talented group of leaders.
Cool. Thank you, Ms. Joy. So yes, we've had some amazing people using their spiritual gifts and, you know, their superpowers. Now, for the rest of our time this morning, we have to, of course, get into God's Word. But I want to just start with this question. Now, we could debate, as far as actual superheroes, what is the greatest superpower? We could say it's flying. Flying's pretty cool. We could say it's super strong, like the Hulk. Or we could say it's super fast, like the Flash. I don't know if anyone would say X-ray vision is the greatest superpower, because that sounds a little creepy, not going to lie. But the Bible actually gives us an answer for what is the greatest spiritual gift. What is the greatest superpower? Because last week we were talking about it. This week in Sunday school we were exploring spiritual gifts. We'll look at some of the individual gifts in Sunday school next week. But I want today's message, I want to focus on what is the greatest spiritual gift. So would you guys please join me? We're going to be in the New Testament in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, there's really two really pivotal chapters, I think, in the New Testament that explain a lot about spiritual gifts. There's multiple passages that talk about it, but one of those passages is 1 Corinthians 12. Another passage is 1 Corinthians 14. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we actually talk about the spiritual gift of tongues and prophecy. Now, my friends, let me tell you, speaking in tongues, prophecy, there's sometimes some controversy about those spiritual gifts. So here's what I want to tell you guys. We're not going to deal with that today. It's an important topic. So what Jeremy and I have done is we've actually recorded a video where we discussed 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to post that online, and we'll talk about it a little bit in Sunday school next week. So I want to invite you guys, if you would like to know more about some of the more controversial gifts, check out that video. Come join us at Sunday school next week at 9:30. But today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to be talking about the greatest spiritual gift. And it says this, it actually says it at the very end of chapter 12. Let's jump in. And now I will show you the most excellent way. So Paul just got done talking about all these spiritual gifts. You know, gifts like administration and leadership and teaching and giving, all kinds of spiritual gifts. And then he says, now I'm going to show you the most excellent. I'm going to show you the greatest spiritual gift. And here it goes. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Did you guys catch that? If I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and I surrender my body to the flames but don't have love, I gain nothing. You see, my friends, the greatest spiritual gift, the greatest superpower according to this passage, love. The greatest spiritual gift, the greatest thing that we can do is show love. In fact, John 13, verse 35, Jesus even says, by this you will know, the world will know that you're my disciples. The world will know because of your great doctrine. If anyone knows the passage, that wasn't quite right. The world will know that you're my disciples by your really awesome church buildings. The world will know that we're his disciples because of the music that we play. Absolutely wrong, all of them. The world will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ by the way that we love one another. Because if someone has the spiritual gift of giving and they give a lot to our church, they give a lot of their time, they give a lot of their talents, they give a lot of their money, a lot of their treasure, does that mean that their opinion matters more? No. If I have the spiritual gift of teaching and I'm up here preaching God's word every week, does that mean that my opinion matters more? No. What matters to Jesus is how we love one another. When the world walks in and they see a different kind of love, they know that God is at work here. The greatest gift we give to each other, the greatest gift that we give to the world is love. And all the other spiritual gifts of hospitality and discernment and healing and speaking to all the other gifts have to happen with love. Where none of us are standing up and saying, look at my gift. Look at how great I am. No. We say, look at how we love one another. Look at how we care. That, my friends, is the greatest spiritual gift, the greatest superpower that God gives to us, is our ability to love each other as He loves us. And that's the first truth we need to cling to this morning, is that the greatest gift we have is love. Now, of course, in our day and age, that's a dangerous thing to say. Because everyone says love. Love, 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 love. There's love songs, there's love poems, there's love novels, there's love movement, blah, blah, blah. And we use love so generically. I say with all my heart, I love my wife, I love my children most of the time. I love my family all the time. I love my calling, I love what I do for work. I love cheesecake. Too much on occasion. But it's of the Lord, amen, praise God, hallelujah. But no, we use the same word love to describe all of these things. And so when we start saying the greatest thing that God has given to us, the greatest gift God has given to us is our capacity to love, He also goes on to describe what that love looks like. Because it's not my love. It's not earthly love. The love that we use is God's love. And He goes on to describe it. Continue reading with me, please. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And what's funny is a lot of times this, I preach this at a lot of weddings, and people say, hey, I want that love chapter. And it's great, it works at weddings. But what I love about the context of this passage is it has nothing to do with marriage. The actual direct context. The direct context is how we, the people who are putting our hands up in the air and saying, I'm a Christian, I'm serving the Lord, and in the middle of it all, He says love. Why is that? Because we get that wrong a lot. And so it's good for us to be reminded what God's love looks like when we reflect that love to one another. So here it is. Love is patient. Okay, I'm done. Most of us have just failed that test. Amen? Who can put their hand up and say, my love is always patient? I am not putting my hand up because it's bad when pastors lie. My love is not always patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I should ask the question, how many of us have ever been around someone that you could never dig out of the hole? Because as soon as you did something, they reminded you of all the other somethings. Yeah, that's not love, my friends. That's not God's love. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That is a tall order, my friends. It is an incredibly tall order. And I know for all of us, as we're looking at this and we're asking ourselves the question, how do I show that kind of love? And we all must confess, I fail. My love is not always selfless. My love is not always kind. And if you'll permit me, I want to share a story with you. And it was actually an illustration that I picked up from a Jewish rabbi. They're always a fun bunch of guys to talk to. But he calls it the lesson of the fish. And he was talking to a young man who was standing on a dock, much like this one, with pole in hand, and they asked, what are you doing? And the young man said, well, I'm fishing. I'm fishing. And so the rabbi asked, why? And the young man said, because I love fish. And the rabbi said, really? You love fish? That's why you catch it with a hook, pull it out of its natural environment, boil it, and eat it. Because you love the fish. And the rabbi made a very astute observation where he said, you really don't love the fish. You love what the fish does for you. And so the question for us, as we're looking at how we love, the question I guess would be this. Do you love the fish for what the fish does for you? My friends, this is our human tendency. When we as human beings normally say, I love you, if we do not have the redemption of Jesus Christ active in our life, more often than not, we are really saying, I love what you do for me. And we do this at every level. If I say I love my neighbor, chances are I love my neighbor because he lets me borrow his weed whacker or use his boat. Do I truly love my neighbor, or do I love what my neighbor does for me? You know, we can say it about family members. I love my kids, and I do. But do I love them for what they do for me? They make me feel more accomplished as a parent. They make me feel like I can relive my dreams because my kid is doing the thing that I wanted to do. So do I love my kid for him, or do I love my kid for what they do for me? Oh, we can say that about siblings too, young people. I love my sister. Really? Because you love your sister, or because you raid her closet on a regular basis? Do you love someone for them, or do you love them for what they do for you? Oh, by the way, as Christians, we do that to the church, don't we? Do I love the church of Jesus Christ, or do I love what the church of Jesus Christ does for me? Let me say that again. Do I love the church of Jesus Christ, or do I love what the church can do for me? And if you really want to answer any of those questions, whether it's your church, your family, your neighbor, or life in general, ask yourself this question: where do you spend your time, and what makes you mad? If the thing that makes you mad is when your needs aren't being met, then chances are you love that thing for what it does for you. If I get mad at my neighbor because he lets all of his leaves blow onto my yard, chances are good I love my neighbor for what he does for me, which is keep my yard leaf-free, not for himself. If I get mad at my church because they don't play the music I like or preach the way I like or do the programming that I like, chances are good I love my church for what my church does for me. The challenge, my friends, is this: how do we love the fish? How do I truly show the love of God to a person? How do I truly show the love of God to the world around me? Well, the honest answer, the second truth that we pull out of this is true love puts the other first. And I don't know if you can see it well, but that's actually a picture of someone releasing a fish back into the water. Because to finish out the fish story, if I truly love the fish, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of the fish, which generally speaking is not to get eaten. I'm going to let the fish go because that's what is in the best interest of the fish. And so if I really want to put my hand up in the air and say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and the world will know that Jesus is Lord because of the way that I love, then the way that I love must absolutely say, you are first, I am second, maybe third. Because I'm going to do what's in your best interest over my best interest. And that's what we mean when we say love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking. And God calls us to this standard, my friends, in part because it is impossible. It is truly impossible for me as a human being to love you the way God loves me apart from Him. I cannot manufacture this love. That's why it is a spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift that says, I am receiving the love that God has given to me, and I am reflecting that love to you, and other than that, I cannot fake it. Because God's love is too magnificent. God's love says that even though we can do nothing for Him, think about it, there's no thing we can do for God that He can't do better Himself. I can do nothing for Him. And yet, it says that He loves me so much that He sent His Son to take out all of my sin so that I could be with Him for all eternity. I can do nothing for God, and yet His love put me ahead of Him. There is no way I can do that love apart from the Holy Spirit living inside me. And so if we really want to be the church that demonstrates to the world that Jesus is Lord by the way that we love, it must absolutely be us reflecting the love that God has for us. And then we will truly be able to put the other first. Without we got nothing. So true love puts the other first. Now, I don't want anyone who is a fisherman, before I move on, I don't want anyone who's a fisherman to feel guilty. I will be very honest. I love what the fish does for me. I want you to hang on to that image when you're saying, I love you, and you can ask the question, am I really loving you or am I loving what you can do for me? But don't get confused. Battered, deep fried, and served with chips is awesome for me. That's all I'm saying. But there's one other piece of love that we need to discuss. Let's keep reading. We're in verse 8 of chapter 13, where we said, love never fails. But then it goes on, and it says, but where there are prophecies, that's a spiritual gift, they will cease. And where there are tongues, another spiritual gift, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So every spiritual gift they're talking about here, every spiritual gift will eventually stop. And it goes on to say, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. That's just a way of saying, when Jesus shows up, guys, we don't need our spiritual gifts anymore. Amen? But until that time, He gives them to us. But check this out, verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, a man, I put childish ways behind me. I put childish ways behind me. And then it goes on to describe, now, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, and then we will see, we shall see face to face. What I know in part, I will then know fully, even as I am fully known. So it's talking about, when we're with Jesus, we'll be fully known and understood. But I want us to zoom in on verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. The third truth about godly love is this. Love endures and matures. Godly love will endure all things, amen? Because we will be in God's presence, we will experience that love directly. So if we spend our time investing, putting God's love into action in the presence of our fellow man, that love will endure. Praise God for that. But I also love the part that says, love matures. Can I be real honest? If you are here, if you believe in Jesus Christ, chances are better than good that when we got saved, we all had a very selfish love. We all loved God for what He could do for me. Amen? We heard the truth that because of my sin, I'm separated from God and I will spend eternity in hell. And if I believe in Jesus Christ, my sins are washed away, I get to have eternal life and spend eternity in heaven. So most of us, if we're honest, we came to faith in Jesus Christ out of selfish love because I don't want to go to hell. I want what Jesus can do for me. And here's the really cool part, my friends. Jesus doesn't kick us away and say, come back when you're more mature. He says, I love you. I saved you. Come on in. Come on in. But then he invites us to grow and to mature. To grow and to mature. And what I love about verse 11 is it says that there's an intentional choice. Did you catch that? I put childish ways behind me. I put childish ways behind me. That means that part of our maturing process is when we're looking at how we love each other. All of us, I'm hoping, myself included, as I was preparing this message, I hope all of us are getting a little bit convicted of how, if I'm really honest, I still love in a selfish way too much. And so we need to make the intentional choice to put that childish way behind us. And to say, I'm going to choose to love others the way that Jesus loves me. He puts me first. He puts me above his own well-being. When Jesus was whipped and flogged and hung on a cross, it happened because he was putting his love for me in front of his love for himself. That is an intentional choice we need to make. I will put selfish love behind me, and I will cling to the love that God has for me. Then I can reflect that love to others. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you love us. We thank you for that. We thank you that your love endures forever and ever and ever. We thank you that your great and limitless love is so magnificent that when you see us in our broken condition, you say to us, come, come to me. You remove our sin and our brokenness from your sight, and you give us eternal life. Father, we thank you that you love us so very, very much. So, Father, as a church, as believers, we simply ask your Holy Spirit, stir our hearts that we can love one another as you love us. Father, may we be marked by the love of Jesus Christ, that the world around us may see that there is a God and his name is Jesus, and the example that they have is the way that we love each other. So, Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Young ones, thanks for hanging with us. You did a great job. We're going to close our time in worship. And so I know you guys have been sitting and hanging out. Would you please stand with us as we, as one church, gathered together as we worship the fact that God's love never fails. Amen? Let's worship that together.
There's nothing that can separate. He never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. He never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. He never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on it goes, on and on it goes.
And on and on and on and on it goes. And it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love.
One last time, in death and life, I'm confident.
In death and life, I'm confident. Covered by the power of love.
It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your love, your love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. His love remains. Amen. Okay, kids, I need you to help me with some motions again. We're going to sing one last VBS song, but we're going to sing the extended version, okay? So you help me wave your arms around? Yeah? Here we go.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down.
Two, three.
I once was blind, I could not see. The chains of sin had shackled me. But God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. There's a home beyond the sky. song will sing for all time. The grave is empty, I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come
one time.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven, shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Oh, 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 oh.
My friends, let us sing forever of how God's love came down for us. Amen?
Amen.
Made in the person of Jesus Christ. So let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, we ask for your blessing on the meal that we are about to enjoy together. Father, we ask for the blessing of you on our fellowship. May your Holy Spirit move mightily through us. May we make new friends. May we celebrate all that you are doing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, I'm going to send you out with this blessing. If there is anything that I can pray with you about or for you about, if you have any questions, I'll be right up here. Otherwise, we'll see you downstairs. One other thing before I give the blessing. I need to talk to a couple of you. You know who you are. I'll meet you right over here in just a second. But go out with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be merciful unto you in all things, give you peace. Amen. We'll see you downstairs, guys.